Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my own.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of Crusader Talk. Another summer episode with Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Dalton Stanford over behind the desk today. Happy to have you with us here on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3, online at supertalkhattiesburg.com, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. Got a great show coming up for you today, visiting with former Diamond Crusader Patrick Lee, who's made a big splash since graduating from the university, and we're going to get to hear all about what's new and exciting in his world of baseball. Also, going to have some fun conversations as we get later into the show, but we want to kick it off, Josh, with the man who has been making headlines ever since William Carey's World Series run came to an end. Actually, it was right in the middle, I believe, that we received word that Patrick Lee had been signed by the Detroit Tigers Association. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey. Glad y'all can have me, man. Glad y'all can have me.
Man, I'm glad we could find a little break in your schedule. You have been very busy ever since you got the call, but I want to bring us back and kind of take us through chronologically, because we haven't gotten to talk to you on this show, I'm pretty sure. We've had RJ a time or two, but you were the number two man of the order last year for William Carey on the baseball side. You were the guy that was hitting him in constantly last year. I'm looking back at all the stats that you had from last season. You tallied up, let's see, how many RBIs was it? 63 for the year, 15 home runs, and a whole lot more in that World Series run. First of all, Josh and I were musing, saying, how did William Carey, you know, find a guy like this to come play for the Crusaders? And we looked at some of your high school stats and said, okay, a 455 average through 4 years is pretty good.
That'll do it.
That would catch somebody's eye, and it certainly did. Just to start off this conversation, Patrick, what was it like, the recruitment process, in order to get to William Carey in the first place?
So, I went to a small high school, graduation Catholic high school in Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Go Eagles.
And yes, sir. And coming out of my junior year, I only had, I had one offer, and that was to MGCC, you know, Ferguson. And I going into my senior year, I just wanted to grind, and I picked up two more offers, which was Coastal Alabama South in Alabama and then William Carey. And I was like, me and my mom talked about it, and we were like, look, you've been at a private school, you know, your whole life. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, this is a private school, very good school. Education's good. And then baseball, we looked at their, you know, their past and everything. Baseball was good. And so I was like, hey, let's pick this school for sure. So that's what, you know, kind of pulled me toward William Carey, other than going the JUCO route. And it definitely panned out, for sure.
Probably helped that your junior year of high school was the same spring that William Carey made it to the World Series. So they were kind of riding high right then, probably attracted your attention. So yeah, let's kind of walk through this college career of yours. You spent a lot of time at William Carey. You had the COVID year thrown in there as well. But you cap it off with a huge World Series run. And I just kind of want to get a blanket idea of what it was like playing for that team with all those guys.
Man, actually coming into William Carey, my freshman year and sophomore year was a little bit of a struggle / change. I had to adapt in a way, and if that makes sense. And actually getting through that and actually looking back on it now, it's like I definitely needed that, because it's just life. What you get thrown at life, you know, and with college and everything. You definitely got to turn the page and look at what you can do, and look what got you here, you know. And when that COVID year hit, that's what turned that page and kicked on, put on the running shoes, as you could say, and with a cleat, and got to work, man, and actually took my profession to another level, and actually focused up and did what I had to do, for sure.
Hey, Patrick, this is Josh West. Pleasure to be able to meet you here just over the phone. And I've heard so many great things. And yeah, I'm kind of a newbie to the William Carey sports scene, but I've kind of dove right in, kind of like you, similar story. When you look and see what William Carey has to offer and you see the success they've had, you want to be a part of it. And I wanted to ask you a follow-up question to your last answer. When you said you had a little bit of that learning curve for a couple of years, what can you share from a wisdom standpoint with young athletes, in particular future Crusaders that are listening to this, about your process and some of the things that you can share with us that you learned and some of the wisdom you can pass on?
Well, I'll say this about the wisdom I can pass on. I would say there's always a tomorrow, right? So with my freshman and sophomore year, having to take those learning curves and everything, I was, for a kid that's very, very competitive in everything he does, literally, I would say you have to take a step back and see what got you there, like I said, and you can't be too hard on yourself. Yes, you can be your worst enemy, but then again, it's you that's out there actually playing the game on the field, knowing the circumstances, knowing the situations, and getting used to that as well, especially from coming from high school to going into college, the game's a lot faster, you know. And that's the thing I had to really learn how to play the game at that pace, for sure.
Speaking of fast, I feel like that's one of the big things you were known for when you're at William Carey, your speed,
yes,
both
sir.
On the base paths. And as a center fielder, you kind of have to expect a fast guy being out there anchoring the outfield. Coach Holford and I were talking earlier, and he just talked about your toughness and your dedication to the game. And I hear in your voice kind of what you went through early on in your college career, kind of that overcomer mentality. That was something you faced your senior year as well. Kind of there towards the end, you faced, I believe it was a hamstring problem or something,
yeah,
toward the end. And you come back in the World Series. Walk me through what it was like for you to make that diving catch to seal the first game victory as William Carey was in Lewiston.
Man, that adversity that I had to overcome after that, through that injury, and seeing all my teammates shine and grind, and I wanted to be with them so bad, but I knew I knew that we had a chance to go to the World Series, you know, and I was like, okay, the best thing for the team is for me to, you know, sit out and get healthy. And that was, like I said, I'm very competitive, so that was tough. But, man, making that diving play to seal the first game of the World Series for us, it was a dream come true, honestly. And I had to step back and live in that moment, man. It was like, man, this is where I've wanted to be, you know, my whole life. And if not more, you know, and more is now. We're speaking in the present tense now, but, yeah. It was definitely a moment in my life that I look back on and say, man, that was me, you know.
Well, to have that much wisdom to be able to make that heady of a decision that early in your playing career, relatively speaking, as you've now made the transition to the professional game, when did that happen? Where was a time where you looked back on it and said, boy, I wish I would have sat out and didn't, and what prepared you for that moment to know this was the right thing to do to save yourself for the World Series?
What prepared me, what made me make that decision was thinking about the team as well. Everybody was starting to get hot at the time, if you go back and look at it. And I feel like with me sitting out and actually, you know, still being there, you know, cheering the team on and everything like that, it gave another lineup, you know, like, what if we don't have this person, you know, and that's what Coach Holford kind of beat it on, like, what if we didn't have this person? How would we react? So I think it was a good thing all around, you know, and yeah, I'm looking back on it, I think that was a good thing. I think it was a good thing for sure.
We're talking to Patrick Lee, former center fielder for William Carey University here on this Monday. Got a couple of minutes left in this segment, Patrick. Are we good to hold you over for a second one to kind of talk a little bit about your pro career starting out?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Cool.
All right. So that kind of helps me set up where we want to go with these questions now.
Yes, sir.
You know, we talk a little bit about your overcomer mentality and all that. I'm thinking about your hitting abilities. You've always had the speed. You've kind of improved in that as you've gone on throughout your career. Hitting-wise, it seems like you lit a fire, or you went on fire through high school, and you kind of had to dial things back and figure it out. You mentioned the game is a lot faster in college. All of a sudden, you're able to hit the long ball come your senior year at William Carey. What was it like developing that swing, or what changed for you in order to all of a sudden be a power hitter?
Key word in that is definitely the confidence. You got to have confidence. You got to know you can do it. I mean, you got to think about this. Well, God didn't put you there to fail, you know? And it's just all about the confidence and your mental and how you prepare for that. My freshman and sophomore year, the pitching got 10 times better from what I went from in 1A high school baseball, as you can imagine. And it was just different, and I had to adapt and get my confidence back. And once I got my confidence back, we definitely could see that in my results, for sure.
We definitely saw it as spectators out there, Patrick. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what Patrick's been up to since being a graduate of William Carey. A lot of fun things have happened since he left the university. So that coming up next as we continue our conversation with Patrick Lee here on Crusader Talk. Stay tuned.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, back with more Crusader Talk with you. Continuing our conversation with Patrick Lee, former baseball player for the Crusaders under Coach Bobby Halford. Patrick, I got to ask you before we jump into what you've been doing since you've left the university, what's it been like, or what was it like, I should say, being under the guidance of a storied head coach like Coach Halford?
It was a dream come true, honestly. Coach Halford is a very good coach, and now looking back on it and seeing all the coaches and managers I've been managed by, he had a very manager type of way of coaching, if that makes sense. Like, he managed his team very well. Now looking back on it, you know, and me having the knowledge I have now, Coach Halford is a very, very good coach, and he recruits very well and brings in the assistant coaches are very, very good. So I have nothing but good things to say about Coach Halford, man. It was a pleasure playing for him for five great years.
Yeah, he was great. Ben Smith, you know, kind of okay. And I'm just kidding.
He's great too.
He's a humble guy. We're planning on having him on next week, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, but
I'll definitely be tuning into that.
Absolutely. All right, so Patrick, tell us a little about what your journey was like once you got finished up with the World Series run. You finish out against Lewis Clark State in Lewiston on their home field. Season's over, classes are done. When do you realize what your next step is?
It's been a roller coaster, honestly. The next step, it was like, I'd say like 2 months into – since I played, which was the World Series game, the last World Series game, and 2 months go by, and I'm like, man, like, I definitely want to go play. I still want to play baseball, you know, and during the season and the World Series run, I had a couple, you know, scouts here and there talk to me, you know, but, like, it wasn't anything in concrete, like, yeah, I'm going here to play or going there to play. So then I got a call from West Virginia Black Bears out of the draft league out of West Virginia from David Carpenter, the manager there. And he was like, hey, man, I think I talked to Halford about you and everything, and I think you would be a good fit for us for the second half, because they do, you know, first and second half. They're actually in the middle of a first half right now. But first half is for kids that are still in college that have eligibility but want to see if they can get drafted. And then second half is for kids that's already graduated college and looking to go indie ball or, you know, affiliated ball. So I took that route, and I did very good in the MLB draft league. And then after the draft league, I sat out for a good – that was my longest time of not playing baseball, and I sat out for a good, what, 3 months, four months, and then I got a call from Missoula Paddleheads out of Montana in the independent ball, the Pioneer League, and they wanted me, and I signed there, and then 2 weeks later, I get traded to the Ottawa Titans out of Ottawa, Canada. And then, right before I was about to go up there, report there, a week, literally before I report there, I got a call from Evansville Otters, which is out of Indiana. And I signed there and went to spring training. Spring training was a real big eye-opener for independent ball in the Frontier League. It was a very good league, and it gave me 2 hard weeks in this spring training, kind of equivalent to my freshman and sophomore year of college. But then again, my mindset was, I already been through this. I got to adapt. So I adapted in first regular season game, did good, and then from there, just blew the door off the batting average and just got hot, man. Just felt like senior year, end of my senior year, going into the World Series again, man.
Well, you know, what I'm hearing, Josh, right now is the ride that Patrick Lee took post-college, it makes the transfer portal look like child's play.
Yeah, no question.
All right, so looking at what you did with Evansville, I see, you know, stats online sometimes can be misleading, but I see 11 games played and a 410 average while you're with Evansville.
Yes, sir.
Pretty drastic start to a career over there in the Frontier League, which is no slouch of a league, by the way. You know, a lot of great players have come up through that league over the years. And was that a shock to people around you to see you start off so strong?
I want to be humble for sure, but yes, it was, because there's a lot of D1 kids there, a lot of D2. Yeah, it was definitely a big shock to them. They were like, dang, where is this kid coming from? And the coach already knew what I could bring to the table, because he talked to Coach Hoffer, he's talked to David Carpenter, previous teams I've played on, right? And he said, I already knew what you were capable of. It was just, you just got to showcase it in the right time and the right moment, you know? And that's what it is. That's what it's about for baseball. You got to be at the right place at the right time, for sure.
Yeah, this is Josh again, Patrick. And when I hear, I tell people this all the time, William Carey, the name William Carey, Crusader Baseball, is probably bigger outside of Mississippi than it is inside of Mississippi. So much respect goes with that.
No, that's true.
So
that
right. So when people pick up the phone and they call Bobby Hallford, that carries a lot of weight. That recommendation carries a lot of weight. And so I want to piggyback off one of your answers. You said, and kind of extend that thought, you said that going back to spring training was like going back to your first 2 years at William Carey. And so take fans through just how prepared you were, knowing you had already been on this grind before, you had already gone this way before, because that's what William Carey does. They play for championships on a national level. They prepare players that have the tools to do it, to play professional baseball, and you've been blessed to be able to do that. Talk about how Carey prepared you for that moment.
I would say for that moment, exactly, for spring training, it was just like I said previously, like, it prepared me for that moment, because it's just Coach Hoffer, he managed you in a way to where it wasn't anything personal. It was just, if you're not producing, then you're gonna have to figure out a way to produce, you know? And any way that is, if you wanna start bunting, you knew. And then with me having speed, that just added to my play. So I had to think back to that, especially in spring training. I was like, okay, let's try to open this up. Let's try to bunt a few times just to see the ball hit the barrel. Just taking that approach, small steps, it just led on to better and better and better at bat, seeing the ball better. And that's what I did my freshman and sophomore year, is I just started literally taking my – all the way until I had 2 strikes, just trying to see the ball and my approach. Everything in baseball is just about your approach and your mental and your confidence, honestly.
So you make it through Evansville, and just a few games in and a strong start, you get that call. Tell us a little bit about what it was like receiving that phone call, or however it was you were notified that the Detroit organization was interested in you.
Oh, so we were actually on our away series playing the Washington Wild Things in Washington, Pennsylvania. And we were in our third game that morning. I got a call and from our manager, and he was like, "Hey, man, I just got a call from the Detroit Tigers, and they want to talk to you, see if you wanted to sign with them." And I was like, definitely didn't think he was playing, but I was like, it was just, I don't know, like my mind went blank. I was like, yes, sir, just, you know, let them call me, I guess. He's like, "Yes, sir, it sounds good. They'll be calling you shortly." I was like, okay. Hung up the phone, and I was like, "Oh, Lord, like it's actually happening, you know, like this is what I've dreamed about my whole life, and it's happening now, right here, right now." And I was literally still laying in the bed that morning, about to get up to get ready to go to the field. And so I called. I didn't call my mom nor dad at the time. And I waited till I got to the field, still didn't get a call. And my manager came up to me and said, "Hey, did you get a call yet?" I was like, "No, sir." He's like, "Dang." And I was like, "Oh, Lord, like, was that just a mistake, you know?" And I started praying. I was like, "Lord, just, you know, just let whatever happens, happens, but remain to keep me humble." Like, you know, I always pray for that. And so then I got a call right before the game. And he had to take me out of the lineup and everything. And I called my mom and dad, told them the news. You know, mom shed a couple of tears. I was definitely shedding tears. Dream come true for sure.
Man, that is awesome.
What a great story.
Patrick, we just got a couple seconds left in this segment. I just want to hear a little bit of a touch on what it's like playing over there in Lakeland. The Tigers spring training facility. What's it like playing over there in that stadium? And what's something maybe surprising that people don't know about what minor league life is like?
It's definitely an eye-opener, and it pushes me to get to the bigger things, especially AA, AAA, Major League for sure. But the spring training facilities, man, are beautiful. It's lovely in Lakeland, but it is, I will say, it's definitely hotter than Mississippi. For sure. And playing with the Flying Tigers, man, and playing actually, you know, Max Clark, the second or third overall pick of the draft last year. He plays center field for the Flying Tigers. So being out in the outfield with him is definitely an eye-opener. And it's a lot of things that prepares you, the preparation for games and everything like that. It's just definitely pro ball for sure. And it's lovely. It's lovely.
Well, Patrick, we are so thankful that you joined us tonight, and we are rooting for you, man. We're so proud of you. That's Patrick Lee, former center fielder for William Carey. And when we come back, we'll continue with more Crusader Talk right after this.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
I got to say, that's one of my favorite interviews that we just had.
Man, was he not fantastic?
What a humble guy. He's a competitor, good character-driven guy as well. Patrick Lee, we wish him all the success, both in the majors and in life, whatever happens.
Well, you know, we were talking to him during the break. We called him back on his cell phone. We were just, you know, thanking him again for joining us. And we were just talking about, you know, was there a plan B? Was there thoughts outside of baseball? And he was quick to thank his mom, that mom was the one who really had helped him think through a plan. And at some point, there will be life after baseball, potentially, at some point. And those plans were already in place. And so when you think about the humility, well, that comes from mom, and that comes from all of the family. And it speaks to that upbringing. And especially in a day and age where so many athletes are wanting controversy just because controversy gets clicks, and just because that is able to drive revenue and monetize on social media and so forth, Patrick's not that guy. is not that guy. He'd much rather go do something else than play the villain. And you have some athletes out there today that want to play that role and monetize that role. So really special guy, and somebody who, you know, William Carey can really, really take pride in as one of their own.
Yeah. Fun fact, by the way, though these two players haven't gotten to play at the same time yet, Chris Williams, former Crusader, is also part of the Lakeland Flying Tigers organization. He's just on the IR right now, or IL, whatever it's called. So whenever he gets back, him and Patrick could both be playing the same games, and hopefully they both have a lot of success. Hopefully maybe we can get RJ out there as well. That'd be great.
That'd be incredible. Now, what's RJ up to right now?
From my conversation with Coach Hallford earlier today, he is in talks with a couple different organizations. He played, you know, for Woodstock last summer and the summer before that, and did terrific in that Wood Bat League. So hoping that he can possibly entertain some offers, possibly even Evansville. I think that one may be on the table. We'll see where he ends up. But I definitely think baseball is in his future.
That would be a great, you know, conversation if you could have it. And you might not be able to have it on the air. But how a Patrick Lee then becomes someone who provides more opportunities to people behind him because of now the reputation of Coach Hallford's word grows, the reputation of Carey Crusader players and what they bring to the table and how prepared they are for that level grows. And so you can see some sort of a type of a pipeline develop, if you will, when things go well with a particular organization.
Isn't it awesome to see, and this is kind of piggybacking off a conversation we had last episode where we talked about how William Carey's got a track and field athlete that's now going to be in the Olympics,
exactly.
And now we're talking about Carey baseball players and the pros. The sky's the limit right now for Carey Athletics.
It is.
It definitely has not peaked. We're certainly not at that point. All right. Speaking of athletics and the future for William Carey, I just wanted to randomly throw this subject matter out there. I feel like this is one that kind of goes through some circles here and there. It's things that we'll talk about at church or, you know, maybe to our buddy that's a Carey Athletics fan on the weekends. That's talking about what does it look like, let's say, 5-10 years down the road. What is the next upgrade in Carey Athletics going to be? Beyond competitive cheer and swimming, which are starting this coming academic or sports calendar year, will we ever see football, or will we ever see Carey make the jump to NCAA Division II? Those are the top two growth conversations that I hear from people. And I feel like we deserve, in this summer where we're kind of, you know, not talking about live competitive action, a chance to kind of dissect that a little bit. And where do you think we should start? Should we start the D2 route or football, or do you think they're kind of intertwined?
Well, that was going to be where I was going with you with this question. You probably know better than I because of your time in this league and your time at William Carey. Does the move to Division II, is that not really on the table minus football?
I think so. Here's the general thought that I've had, and you know, some of the musings and different people I've talked to. It would be a very hard move for a conference in Division II to accept William Carey without football.
And that's where I thought that would be your answer.
See, I think it would make a lot of sense if Carey got to play, say, in the GSC with Delta State, Mississippi College, but that's a league that would probably not welcome William Carey without football. They could, and I can't rule that out, and I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody when I have these general thoughts here. But in a South-centric league where football rules, football is the king in athletics once you get up to the NCAA. Without it in this big football climate, I should say, it's hard to think about adding a team without adding another competitive football team.
So then my next thought is you look at the way maybe historically over the last 30 years at the highest level of college football in Mississippi, there's been a fight for dollars and resources and athletes and so forth in a state of just under 3 million people to add another Division II team. Is that just too many teams in one league from essentially one of, if not the smallest states in the union, from certain perspectives? Is that just too many Mississippi teams in that one league? And then if so, where does William Carey go for a league?
And see, I think we're asking one question that is on the table, but I think a tougher question is not, can the state support another football school? I think it's more so, can Hattiesburg support another football university? Because you have Delta State out in Cleveland. You don't really have any competition out there as far as D2 and above. With Mississippi College, yes, you've got Jackson State. You've got Millsaps over there.
Sure.
But at the same time, that's a big enough market to where you can cater, pull in the players, get the scholarship athletes out there. And, of course, you're not limited to what's in your seven-county radius or anything like that. But at the same time, you're not competing just for athletes when it comes to football. You're competing for advertising dollars. You're competing for fans and weekend plans. I mean, how many William Carey supporters out there that are also part of the Southern Miss family, whether it's their spouse went there or their kid is going to go to one of the other? You know, there's all kinds of different reasons that both schools would likely be part of the same family. And families are going to have to make decisions. If Carey and Southern Miss would be playing football on the same Saturday, where are you going to go? Can the community support it? And that kind of cycles back to that thought I had about advertising dollars. Do we have enough businesses that would support both? Or would some have to pick and choose?
Well, okay, in terms of a college town, in the league you were referencing, is Hattiesburg better than Cleveland and Clinton? I don't think that's an argument. But Clinton is attached to the Jackson metro area. Cleveland at the university is a very nice campus. However, it's still, kids are looking for the amenities. What is it close to? The Hub City? I think the Hub City wins. So therefore, from a recruiting standpoint, I don't think Delta State and Mississippi College want to let William Carey in. So now it becomes this. Can William Carey stay in AIA and add football and dominate? Because William Carey, the perfect place to throw this in, number 5 in the country in the Learfield Director's Cup, and we'll talk more about that. We kind of feel like if they were maybe one national championship away, could have had multiple this year, one national championship away from capturing that Director's Cup and being the number 1 NAIA program in the country, and there is something to be said to offer a product that is at an elite national championship type level to where when other entertainment options aren't in town potentially on certain weeks, then, hey, let's go watch the national championship chasing Crusaders play this weekend with, you would think, just because of recruiting budgets and so forth, a lot more local players, a lot of players from your Columbias and Forest County AHS and Hattiesburg and different places right here in our backyard could be very appealing in terms of bringing in a crowd.
Now, it goes without saying the move in pursuing football, and again, we're all talking hypothetical right here, would be more than likely administrator head move. Less so an athletics director move and more so a presidential office, provost, vice presidents, all those that would be making that initial move. And so coming from that mindset, the question they're having on the table has to be, does adding football long-term benefit our university, whether it be the dollars they bring in or the academia and student population that they bring in? Does it grow your school to add football, or does it become a money pit?
I'll say this. The best way to answer that question is that it's tough to answer. And that is because you can make the argument, as popular as football is, that numbers aren't declining. The numbers would bear out that football is declining. I feel like you've seen a surge in baseball. I feel like you've seen a surge in softball. I feel like you've seen a surge in volleyball. Now, there are a lot of sports. We are seeing a huge surge in soccer.
Yeah.
There are so many things that Carey is elite at and excelling at right now. And they are already almost right now the number one program in all of NAIA in athletics. And that is a testament to, all the way from the top down, tremendous what they've been able to accomplish. It would be intriguing. And in the short term, you would add, I think the numbers bear out, somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 students full-time on campus that you add when you add football. And that's cheerleaders, trainers, GAs, fans, you know, more student recruitment because of better student life experience. But like you said, in the long term, how does that play out over 5, 10, 15 years if there's not pretty quick success and sustained success? Is it something that if you start, you're going to be turning around and dropping it within 10 to 12 years? I know if they start it, they would have no plans of ever having to turn around and shut it back down.
And hey, we've got a big streak going right now. William Carey's been undefeated in football since 1956, and we've got the shirt to prove it.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. I got to go back and listen to that interview with
Dr.
Burnett.
You know, we could talk about this for like multiple episodes.
Absolutely.
We could take calls on this.
Phone lines over here. No. Not this week anyway. We may contemplate it in the future. Depends on how deep down the rabbit hole we want to get with summer programming.
Sure.
Next week, by the way, I mentioned it. Ben Smith going to be on. Have a couple cool episode ideas that hopefully are going to come to fruition. We may tease them a little bit, but I may have to wait for a little bit more feedback before we get to that. All right, final segment coming up for you next on Crusader Talk.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, been a good show. If you missed any of our conversation earlier with Patrick Lee or our general musings about football, you can catch us on demand at supertalk.fm. Just go to the Hattiesburg station, then look for Crusader Talk. Also available through carryathletics.com. You can click on the Crusader Talk tab.
We literally just mused throughout the entire break as well on the same topics. We didn't stop. It went to break and we kept going.
I feel like I'm on the back porch, but with a microphone in front of my face and a headset on my ears.
I know. I mean, little did you know, just throwing that topic out there, and then all of a sudden that segment was gone.
We, back when I was first starting out at a new church, we had a little Wednesday night equipping class, and you had a whole menu of choices that you could choose from, whether it be, we go to the marriage class or go to the, you know, we're going through the Book of James class. There was one called Feed Store Fellowship. And it was literally about what we just did during that break of just going around. There's just a topic thrown out there. Let's all talk about, you know, how do we solve this problem? How do we, you know, see this? How do we look at this from our perspective? What does the world see in this perspective? And we talked all about football in that same round robin style.
Oh, sure.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about what we have going on here over the summer. Josh, you spent a little time out at the soccer field this past weekend and got to see a couple of Crusaders on the Hattiesburg Football Club women's team. And some of those stars are starting to get back in their groove.
They are. And we try to bring some on, like Virginia Mesa, for an interview. They were not in summer interview mindset. They have already been now warned for the fall, if they continue to produce at this level, that they are going to have to, interviews will be aplenty with you and Clayton in the fall. And when I told them that, you saw the light bulb go off. You went, I said, so if you continue to play like this, you're going to be interviewed more. And they went, oh, yeah. You're right. And you could just see the sheer terror. But because English is a second language, right? So you have so many players that are coming from the international game where English is a second language. But they are doing well. And a couple of wins. A couple of wins for the Storm and the Thunder, as there was a nice crowd out there for that. And great to see not only on HFC, but also around that league in the GCPL on the ladies' side and the USL2, Crusaders across both leagues doing very well.
Yeah, it's good to see the success of both of those community teams. You know, the girls, they've been trying to figure it out. They're finally getting their groove on. The men's team had that 1-0 victory over Brilla over the weekend. And It's fun. You know, we got to talk again to Clayton Rush. We didn't get a chance to preview the men at all whenever he jumped on, which, by the way, he told us after that interview, he checked his temperature, it was 103. He may have gotten a little virus from Dominican Republic or may have been something he ate on the plane ride back. But we're happy he's back in full health. We had lunch together, Clayton and I did, earlier today. So he's all good.
And back to talking soccer real quick. Saw Coach Barry Farrell, head coach of the men's soccer team at the game. I said, Coach, I heard you're going to be loaded in the fall. He did not deny that. I'll put it that way. That got us into talking personnel and talking different things for the fall. He's excited. So, Caleb, I think you and Clayton are in for a real treat this fall. I won't go into – I don't think those are for Crusader Talk because you don't want to put anything out there that becomes bulletin board material. But Clayton has very high expectations of this team. They have high expectations every year, but they have added so much depth. If you had to say what is going to be the difference from last year to this year, they're adding depth. And then if you can add another word to that, quality depth. So last year they ran a really good group out there. Injuries just wrecked them as the year went on. So right when things start, right out of the gate, expect big things out of men's soccer at William Carey.
All right, I want to talk a little bit about what we are planning for the summer, just to kind of get your mind, you know, tickle with the ideas, and maybe you can help make these a reality. One, we're thinking for July 4th, we're going to try to get on the horn Ryan Hornsby and John Snyder, who are both selected as All-Americans, second team and third team, and want to kind of have that as the backdrop of, you know, American-themed July 4th type episode as we go into that week. Obviously, you said Ben Smith is going to be on next week. But another thing that I wanted to throw out there, and this is starting to, you know, catch on. I've gotten a couple, I could possibly do that. I want to hear from coaches' wives of what is it like. We've talked to, you know, long-term coaches like Coach Knight, Coach English, Coach Owens, Coach Halford. And I want to know what it's like supporting those guys over these several years as Crusader coaches. I've already got some maybes. I need some firm yeses. And if you're friends with Miss Regina, Miss Dee Dee English, Miss Kathy Halford, any of those, Coach Owen's wife, hit them up and say, hey, I want to hear your story.
Broadcasters' wives?
You might have to do that one too.
You might have to.
I might need a babysitter that night. Nash might want to join the podcast too. Hey, also, get your tickets for Waffle House the Musical. We got to figure out what night we're going, Josh.
I'm in.
We got to make it happen. All right. Fun episode. Again, you can catch it on demand wherever you get your podcast. Just search for Crusader Talk. Been a fun one. Thanks again to Dalton Stanford, running the board today. For Patrick Lee joining us earlier in the podcast. For Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saders.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.